You know, there are different times throughout the year that on Sundays when I come and preach, that I think, man, this is a Sunday I just absolutely love to preach on. I love to preach on New Year's Sunday, the first Sunday after the new year. It just feels like everything is a fresh new beginning. You get to set the vision for the upcoming year and think about the grace of God and all that He did last year and all that He's going to do. I love preaching on the first Sunday of a new year. My absolute favorite Sunday to preach on is Easter. I love to reflect on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ because that's just so central to our faith and central to our identity. It makes us who we are. It gives us hope in this life, forgiveness of the past, hope for the future. It is the resurrection of Jesus that makes us Christians. But I would say a close second to preaching on Resurrection Sunday is actually Mother's Day. I love to preach on Mother's Day. And one of the reasons that I love to do that is because I think that Scripture has so much to say to women and to mothers, and it has so much to say about how women can reflect the glory of God and how God can use them for His glory. But I also love to preach on Mother's Day because I was very, very fortunate. I have an excellent mother in my own life. Of course, you guys know my mom and dad. They're frequently visiting here at the church, and I love my mom and dad so much, and I love to celebrate her, and I called her this morning and thanked her, and we had a good talk, and I just have an excellent mother. Her name is Emily Alexander, and I just absolutely love, and to this day still slightly fear my mother, and I think that's healthy as well. My mom and I have always been really great friends. We're both night owls, and I can remember when I was in high school, when I probably should have been in bed, it was my mother that kept me up late at night, and we would just stay up at night talking and maybe staying up until about 2 in the morning at times just talking and reflecting. I've always been able to go to my mom and share with her and be open and honest with her and expect open and honest criticism and instruction from her as well, and I'm very grateful for her. Some of you guys who know me know that I love to play devil's advocate in an argument. I will purposely choose an opinion that I do not agree with just so I can cause you problems, all right? I learned that habit from my mother. My mother will do that same thing. She taught me how to see various sides of different issues. She taught me not necessarily to be dogmatic on everything, but to listen and to learn and to try to understand other people's points of view. My mother did not graduate college, never even attended college, but she is one of the most intelligent people that I have ever met, just filled with discernment and godly wisdom, and she has shown me what a godly woman is meant to be, and so I'm very thankful for my mother. Now, of course, I have another person in my life right now that makes this Mother's Day very special as well. Most of you guys know that on July 6th, I'm getting married. Can you believe that? All right. Very, very excited about that. And I tell you what, some of you guys this morning, as I showed up to church, some of you people wish me a happy Mother's Day. All right. Of course, I've been a single dad for close to 2 years now. And I will tell you this, that being a single dad has shown me this. I am not a mother. At all. I am not a mother. And I thank you for wishing me a happy Mother's Day, but I am not a mom. There is a very special role that a mom, that a woman plays in a child's life, and I do not play that. I need someone in my life to help with that. And of course, I am very fortunate to have met Angela Payrott, and we're going to be getting married on July 6th. And I tell you what, to see just unconditional love that a woman has for kids that are not hers biologically, it's pretty powerful. And I'm so thankful for her and trying not to cry right now and just very thankful for the love that she shows my kids and shows me. And I'm just so excited for this church to get to know her up through the years. And as soon as you meet her, you'll go, what in the world are you doing with him? All right, you're going to do that. She's absolutely great and amazing. I can remember, I'm going to tell a little story on Samuel. Samuel likes to wrestle. Angela likes to wrestle, and one day Samuel jumped on Angela. Angela just took him and just like threw him like a rag doll, all right, just boom, like that. And I can remember Tia and Jenna were talking to him, and they said, "Daddy, Angela's so sweet, and she's so beautiful, and she's so kind." And Samuel said, "And she's strong." She's just a great fit, and I'm so happy to celebrate her. And I want you to know, if you are a stepmom today, you should be celebrated today as well. what a great role in somebody's life that you have to play. And so this morning we're going to celebrate mothers. We're also going to celebrate women in general. The title to this morning's message, you can see up there if you can read it, it's in Latin, Femina Imago Dei, and it roughly translated means women reflecting the image of God. As women, you have been given a special privilege to reflect the image of God in a uniquely feminine way. And I think that's a very biblical perspective. And so we're going to celebrate that today. And we're going to ask today, what does it mean for women to reflect God's image in the church? I think that's a very important question that we need to answer. It's something that maybe we as evangelical Christians don't talk about that much, and especially as Southern Baptists, we don't often talk about. But we need to celebrate how women reflect God's image in the church. Now, before we do that, we're going to go ahead and pray and ask God to guide us, and I'm going to direct you to a passage of Scripture that we're going to be in today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the great love that you give us. Thank you so much for the women that you put in our lives. I'm so thankful for my mother. I'm so thankful for my fiance. I'm so thankful for grandparents and women in the church down through the years that you have placed in my life to help teach me and guide me and train me. I'm so thankful for the women in this church who have been friends and confidants and supports down through the years. And Father, we just thank you for creating women. We thank you for creating mothers. We thank you that we can come this morning and celebrate that. And I ask this morning that all of us, male or female, would just be drawn closer to you this morning, that we would learn more about you, that we would all recognize how we can reflect your glory and your image in a particular way. But right now, Father, we want to just pray specifically for all the women here, that you would just speak to their hearts in a special way and guide them. We love you. We pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, I want to ask you this morning to turn with me to a book that I've just been spending a lot of time in here lately. I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16. We're going to be in the last chapter of the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul somewhere near the end of his third missionary journey, somewhere around 57 AD. It was written to a very large church that he had never actually visited before, the church in Rome. And I want you to know that this chapter has a lot to say to women, and it's kind of surprising that it does that. Now, before we look at this passage, let me just say this. I've heard a lot of people in our modern day culture say bad things about Paul. Paul is a chauvinist. Paul hates women. Paul subjugates women. Paul wants all women to submit to men, and he's backwards, and we can't follow his advice anymore. And I'm here to tell you, I think Paul has really been given a bad rap. When we look at how Paul approached women, how Paul taught women, and how Paul worked with women in the early church, we find out that for his day, he was actually incredibly progressive. He actually exalted women and lifted them up to a new position. Now, why was that? Paul believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believed in the good news of Jesus' death, resurrection, and second coming. He believed that that was what made life important. He believed that's what transformed us from the inside out. And he believed that that gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation, was offered to all equally. Male, female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, all have been given access to Jesus Christ through faith. And so since he believed that about salvation, that changed the way that relationships are meant to work in the church and in society in general. You see, the gospel is not just something we believe. The message of Jesus is not just something we think about. It's something that should radically transform the way that we live life. So Paul neither taught this male-dominated patriarchal society, but he also did not teach extreme feminism, which exalted women above men. He didn't even teach a third option in the middle somewhere. He taught it on a whole other level. That in Jesus Christ, we are all one. In Jesus Christ, we are in the body of Christ, a new creation, as you will. We look at people through a different lens and a different perspective, and that is meant to shape how we function in the church. Now, the letter to the Romans, it was, of course, a letter, and so it started like an ancient letter, and it ends like an ancient letter. And oftentimes, an ancient letter would end with a lot of different greetings. The writer of the letter would greet different people, and he would send greetings from different people. And oftentimes in Paul's letters, there's just a couple of names mentioned and a couple of greetings given at the end of the letter. Romans 16 is entirely different. Romans 16 has 27 different people who Paul greets. 25 of those people are named. And if you look at this list, it's really quite extraordinary to look at. Man, there are Jews, there are Gentiles, there are people from the upper echelons of society, there are people that were probably slaves or maybe who had just become free from slavery, there are men, there are women, and they are all part of God's church. And I want you to recognize how revolutionary that was in the first century and in a society that was oftentimes very rigid in its social classes and its social structures. In the church, in Rome, in this church, you have all different people mixing, mingling, worshiping, and serving together because of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's why all of us are here this morning. That's why men and women, young and old, we are all sitting together and celebrating together what the gospel does in our lives. And we see that reflected in Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, of these 27 people that are greeted, 9 of them are women. And so what I want to do this morning is focus on some of these women that are mentioned and the different ways that they reflected the glory of God in the Roman church. And I think this can be very instructive for us as well. What does it mean for women to reflect God's glory in the church? So we're going to look at 4 different types of women who reflected God's glory in the church this morning. The first one is found in Romans 16, verses 1 through 2. And we would call this woman a woman of influence. This is a woman of influence, a woman with power, a woman with some abilities, a woman with financial means, a woman of influence. So go ahead and read Romans 16, verses 1 and 2 with me. My Bible says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, my Bible says, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. Now, wait a minute. We're Baptist. Women deacons. What is that about? Let's talk about that phrase for just a moment. Many of your Bibles might say the word servant. Any of your Bibles say that? A servant of the church of Cenchrea. That is very possibly a translation there. It could also be translated minister. It could also be translated deacon. This is the Greek word diakonos, where we get the word deacon from. Now, some people may disagree with me, but I'm just going to be very frank with you. I do believe that this word should literally be translated deacon. I do believe that's what it is, because it is in reference to a specific church. She is a specific leader in that church, and so she probably has some sort of specific teaching role in that church and leadership role in that church. Now, you might say, now, wait a minute, that goes against Southern Baptist doctrine. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, but it's in the Bible. And so I'm going to go with what the Bible says. And so we have this woman who is a woman of influence. Paul commends her. Now, why would he need to commend her? Why would he need to give her a letter of recommendation? The reason is because Paul entrusted Phoebe to take the letter of Romans to the church in Rome. That's how much this woman was trusted. That's how much influence she had. That's how important she was in the early church that Paul said, I'm giving you the greatest letter that I have ever written, and I expect you to take it to the church in Rome so that it can be read. I want you to realize this morning, if it wasn't for this woman of influence, this deacon of the church of Cenchrea, that we in the modern world today would not have Paul's letter to Romans. We would not have the Protestant Reformation. We would not have the change that the book of Romans has wrought all throughout church history, because Paul entrusted a woman of influence with the letter to the church in Rome. So she was a letter bearer. She was a deacon in the church of Cenchrea. Verse 2 says, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. That phrase benefactor in your Bibles, some of your Bibles might be translated a helper of many people. This was a specific term in the first century that meant she was some woman with finances. She was a woman who was likely rich, and she used what God had given her to benefit other people. She benefited Paul's ministry. She helped with mission trips. She helped serve in the church. She used the influence that she had for the kingdom of God. There are women here today, and you have been gifted with special leadership roles. You have been gifted with special abilities. You have been gifted with the means and the finances to help other people. And God has given you that for a specific purpose, to be a woman of influence, to be a woman of the kingdom, to be someone that can share the gospel, that can reach out, that can minister to other people, that can use your gifts and abilities to serve Him. And nothing should stop you from doing that. Nothing should stop you from doing that. You have been called and gifted by God, and you should be able to exercise that right to serve Him in completeness. And so one way that women can reflect the image of God in the church is by being women of influence, by using the means that God has given them to share the gospel with others. So one way women reflect the image of God is by being women of influence. Now, there's a couple of other people mentioned in this list. And secondly, ways that women can reflect the image of God in the church is by serving alongside their husband. Husband and wife ministry teams. Look at chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. Scripture says, "Greet Priscilla." Some of your Bibles might say Prisca. It's the same person, just a variation of name. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house." Now, Priscilla and Aquila were a ministry pair. They were a husband and wife pair who often walked alongside Paul and served him. You can go to Acts chapter 18 and you can read about how when Paul was in the city of Corinth that he actually met this ministry couple. They were both leather workers, tent makers, and they became good friends and they began to serve and work together. They had a house church in the city of Ephesus. They had a house church in the city of Corinth. They had a house church in the city of Rome at one point. They were very important servants in the church. At one point, they actually took a man aside named Apollos. Apollos was a gifted speaker, but he didn't have his theology quite correct. And so Priscilla and Aquila set him down, and they taught him together the way of God more accurately. Now, something interesting about Priscilla and Aquila is they are mentioned six times in Scripture, okay? Four out of those six times, Priscilla's name is mentioned first. Now, that's kind of odd in the first century, and we don't know exactly what that was. It could be that she was of a higher social status. It could be that she had the more dominant personality. It could be that she was more gifted for ministry, and so she was mentioned first. But whatever the case, you have a husband and a wife serving together. They are teaching together. They are helping together. They are financing ministry together. They are working together. Down in verse 7, we have another example of a husband and wife ministry team. Verse 7 says, "Greet Andronicus and Junia." Some of your Bibles might say Junius. It really should be translated Junia. "Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was." Now, we don't know exactly what their ministry was. Were they apostles who had actually seen the Lord Jesus Christ? That was one of the requirements for an apostle. Were they missionaries in a sense, messengers in a sense? But whatever they were a husband and wife Jewish ministry team who had suffered right alongside Paul. They served with Paul, and they were outstanding at doing this. We can probably all think of people that we grew up with in church or see in our church today who are a husband and wife who just serve together in a variety of means. I've seen husbands and wives teach a Sunday school class together. I've seen husbands and wives just serve in the background together. My parents, I think, are a great example of this. When I was a kid growing up, my parents worked in the youth ministry. My dad drove the youth van for something like 14 years. That can explain every one of his psychological problems, all right? If you've ever had to drive a youth van for any amount of time. My mom worked in the youth ministry. She cooked for the youth ministry. And for a number of years, when my dad took a different job, he was not able to come to church too often on Sundays, and they kind of faded into the background of ministry. But here lately, my dad has retired, and he's loving it, by the way. He has retired. And they have gotten back involved in church and ministry. And I called my dad the other day, and I said, "So what do you do on Wednesday nights?" "Well, me and your mom, we go up in the youth room and we cook. And we serve, and we clean, and we make sure all the kids feel wanted and needed." And they are serving and working together once again. It's a beautiful thing to see a husband and a wife do that. And it's something that all of us can strive for in our marriages. We can serve together in our homes, serve together in our churches, serve together in our community. Can I just say that's why I'm so excited to get married on July 6th? Because I recognize, and we both recognize this, we believe that God can do more through us together than he could ever do through us apart. And that's so exciting to me to recognize and to see. So this is something that we can strive towards in our marriage. Husbands and wives, serve together, pray together, grow the kingdom of God together. That is one way that women reflect the image of God in the church. Now the next way we're going to look at is this. Paul simply calls some of these women hard workers. They're just hard workers. Look at Romans 16:6. The Bible says, "Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you." Romans 16:12. "Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord." Now, I love this because of all these 27 names that are mentioned, only women are called hard workers. Can you agree with me there? Man, our churches would not exist without the hard work of women. Now, we don't know exactly what they were doing. We don't know exactly how they were serving. We don't know exactly what their task was. But it seems like whatever they were called to do, they just did it. Man, we see that every time we come to church on Sundays. There are women who clean. There are women who straighten. There are women who decorate. There are women who teach. There are women who get meals organized. And they just, whatever they find their hands to do, they do it with diligence and they work very hard. And I love this because those two women, Tryphena and Tryphosa, they were probably twin sisters, and those names mean delicate and dainty. That's what those names mean. And I love this. Delicate and dainty are very hard workers in the Lord. So they didn't let their delicateness and their daintiness get in the way of their service to the Lord. They were dedicated to him with all their heart, and they worked hard. And I want to thank God for all the women who work so hard in this church every single week. Many of you go unrecognized. Many of you go unseen. But if it weren't for you teaching Sunday school classes, cleaning up, taking care of fellowships, organizing, teaching, ministering, we would not have a church. So thank you so much for the hard work that you instill in us. So we have women of influence. We have husband and wife ministry teams. We have women who are just hard workers. Whatever they find, they work at it with all their hearts. And then finally, in Romans 16:13, we have a woman who's just, she's a mother figure. She's a mother figure. Romans 16:13 says this, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." Think about that. Here's a woman who is unnamed. We don't know her name. We don't know who she is. But Paul said she was a mother to me too. This unnamed, unknown woman had a motherly influence on one of the most important people in all of human history. Mothers here this morning, do you ever feel like you're not making a difference? Do you ever feel like you are not seeing any change? Do you ever feel like you're just not getting there? I wonder if this woman ever felt like that. She's unnamed, she's unrecognized, but her influence influenced one of the greatest leaders in the early church and has been strewn throughout human history. If it wasn't for this woman, where would Paul have been? Where would Paul have been in his ministry? So don't give up in your service. Don't give up in your work. Don't give up in your love. Don't give up in being that motherly influence. It will make a difference. To you women here this morning who do not have children, you still can be that mother figure in someone else's life. You can be that person that influences the next great leader, the next great missionary, the next great politician, the next great teacher. You can be a positive influence of love in someone's life. And when you do that, you have reflected the image of God in a very uniquely feminine way. So when I look at this passage, here's what I conclude. Women are free to reflect God's image in the church however he calls them to do so. And I'm so thankful for that. And once again, I'm so thankful for all the women here today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Men, let's pray for the women in our lives today. Spend some time right now praying for your mother, praying for your grandmothers, praying for aunts, praying for your wife if you're married, praying for your fiance if you're engaged. Spend some time just praying, thanking God for the women in your life, but also praying that they would reflect God's image on a daily basis. Women, you may feel at times that your influence goes unseen, and you may be tired of serving and working the job of a mother. The job of reflecting that image can be so tiring and exhausting. Would you just go to God right now and just pray for strength and the ability to love beyond yourself, to love beyond your own means, and let the Holy Spirit of God love others through you. Pray for yourself right now. Pray for the other women in